Hey everyone, welcome to the Month of Movies podcast for January 2014. In this podcast, it's me, Scott, and my brother Jason, and we talk about movies that we watch over the span of a month, and we kind of give them little synopsises, reviews, what we thought of the movie, and have little discussions. We mentioned more, we explained it more in the actual episode, but just to let you guys know, there will be some spoilers in here. A few movies that I watched, I kind of gave away the endings because I didn't think they were that great of movies. but if you want to see All the Boys Love Mandy Lane or The House at the End of the Street, when we start talking about them, just skip over a few minutes because I will spoil those. But don't worry, they're not that good. Other than that, just enjoyed the first episode. We still have a lot of things to work out in the podcast, so stick with us, because I'm sure by the time we get to episode 3, this will be like polished gold. So enjoy, and if you have any movies that you want us to watch, let me know. Email me at stuffbyscott@gmail.com, and let me know if there's any certain movies you want us to watch in a month, and see how we feel about them. But like I said, we explained more in the episode, so I'm going to stop talking and let you listen. Enjoy. All right. Hello there. Welcome to the movie podcast between myself and my brother Jason.
Yeah.
We don't know the title yet. We're thinking Month of Movies.
Yeah, because it's got the M.
Yeah. It's got the M.
Well, Month of Movies. Yeah, Month of Movies.
Alliteration.
Yeah. I always forget, because there's alliteration and then there's something else. And I thought alliteration was only when it's vowels.
No, alliteration is when you say Mandy moves muscle.
No, but I'm
men.
Saying, like, instead of original orange, it's alliteration, because you're doing the first letter and it's vowels.
Oh.
And there's another one. I don't know. One of them's for vowels and one's for consonants. I didn't realize there was a difference.
Alliteration is just, I think, the first letter. It doesn't matter if it's vowel or consonant.
There's one that does make a difference.
Oh, okay.
I thought, I could be wrong. I could be blowing smoke. Or someone told me something wrong and I believed them.
That happens all the time. Stupid internet. But,
that is a person.
Anyways, this podcast.
Month of movies. For January.
What,
2014.
Exactly. This is
the first one.
Basically, what's going to happen is Jason January. And I are going to talk about all the movies you watched in the month of the episode. So, for example, this is all the movies you watched in January 2014, but Jason has a little hook on his movie set.
Okay. So, I bought a Blu-ray set of the 50 best Warner Brother movies. But some people argue about they're not really the best ones, but it doesn't matter. It's a box set of 50 movies, and in the box set, there was very few of them I have seen, and a lot of movies in there that I probably should have seen, considering I watch a lot of movies. So I bought it because it was on super sale for like 75% off or something like that. So I bought the box set, and I'm like, oh, 50 movies. That's pretty close to one a week. Because there's 52 weeks in a year, and then I, with a buffer of 2 weeks because of vacations and stuff that come up. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to set that as my goal. I'm going to watch one a week for the entire year, and I was going to do it like each week do something, but then I'm like, it's too much of a pain, especially when I don't have much to say about something.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm like, oh, why don't we just do a wrap-up at the end of the month? So hopefully I won't have to do this whole spiel each time. But anyway, the point is I have 50 movies to watch in a year. So one a week. Obviously, I think there's 5 weeks this month. So I watched...
In January.
So I watched 5 movies out of the 50. So, yeah, I'm a... What? Isn't that like a tenth done?
Yeah,
I guess. That's weird how that works. 12 months, but I'm a tenth done.
Because some months only have 4.
Oh, because, January was...
Yeah?
I don't know. But anyway, because the first week was really short. Maybe the last week's long. But yeah, so 50 movies, 50, I almost said 50 months. And then Scott.
Yeah.
is also doing something similar, where they kind of, sometimes they overlap and sometimes they don't. So there's gonna be some movies where we're both gonna watch.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm watching them, Scott hasn't, and Scott's watching them, and I haven't. And then that's why we're gonna talk about them.
Yeah. And my little clincher for watching movies is I'm just watching movies. I mean, obviously, between him and I, we're watching more movies than just the ones that in his set and my set. So we're gonna talk about all the movies we watched. But mine was cheaper than his, because instead of buying a pack of discs, I bought a $5 set of cards, playing cards. And it's brought to you by That's Entertainment. It's the That's Entertainment playing card series, the best movies of all time, poker style playing card deck. And obviously it has 52 cards in it. And I'm like, I bought these a while back. I'm like, I'm going to give this a shot. And
I have a feeling you're going to have a hard time trying to find some of those movies to watch.
Yeah,
might be. Mine's kind of easy because I have them all.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I need to watch this one. Oh, it's in my hands. You're going to be like, I need to watch this one. It's not on Netflix.
Yeah, I'm
right. It's not at Redbox.
I'm scrubbing the Netflix right now.
Who, do I know anybody who has this movie? I don't know. But, yeah. So that'll be a little fun trick toward the end of the year for sure.
But the good the good news is we just live right down the street from Family Video. If it gets down to the wire, I can get an account.
And if they are as amazing as they're saying it, the 52 best movies of all times, all video stores should have them.
And I own a good chunk of them too.
Yeah.
So, but I guess we'll start with one of the first movies.
Okay. So I think, okay, so yeah, out of my 50, I think I'm going to do those ones first.
Okay.
And then after, I'll go through the other movies I watched that month. Because I feel like out of the 50, some of them might not be as interesting to talk about, and I might get more excited about ones that I wanted to see instead of had to see. So I feel like if we knock those out of the way first... I don't know if that makes your life a little more difficult, but
no, I'm just,
not at once. I'll say I watched this movie.
Yeah.
And then you say, oh, I'll say I watched this one off my list, and then we'll talk about it. And then you watched one off your list, and you can talk about it and whatever.
See, I'm just gonna go from the order that I watched them, because some of the ones I had to watch I didn't like, and some I liked, and some of the ones I wanted to watch for fun I did like and didn't like. Okay. So it's all mixed. All
right. Oh, to stick with yours, I'll do that too. So the first movie I watched of the month was one of my 50. And also my 50 movies are in chronological order. So the oldest movie in the set is the first one I watched. And this newest movie is going to be the last one I watched.
Okay, so it goes... So the actual binder is like in years? Like
yeah.
1930s and up or whatever?
So the first one... I guess I could look at the binder for a second.
He's going to go grab his giant binder of...
It's one binder, because there's two binders. There's 25 on each binder. But the first one was from 1932. So 1932 is quite a while ago.
Do I have to say the years?
No.
Good.
But I'm just saying, that's the year the box set starts. So none of these are silent films, but they are black and white. I'm not going to say the years for the rest of them, but just so people get a grasp. I don't know when it ends. We'll worry about that in December.
We're really burpy today, aren't we?
Yeah. But anyway.
I got a red apple ale.
So, like I said, the first one's from 1932. It was called Grand Hotel. Grand Hotel. I'm not going to lie. I never heard of this movie before I bought the box set. I know a lot of people have, and I think they like it. But I've never heard of it, so I went into it pretty open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking back, I'm like, okay, movies have come a long way since this one.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of think, okay, if movies never really existed the way they are now, how exciting is this movie? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
you're going, oh, we're going to the movie theater. We're going to see this movie. It's 1932. So this is before World War II. You know what I mean? Like, the world has changed a lot. But anyway, the movie itself was okay.
What is the gist of it?
So the movie starts off really weird. There's a bunch of people like in the lobby of a hotel.
Makes sense.
and they're all on like at the payphone, mm-hmm. calling people. They're like, "Oh, I'm in blah blah blah," like because they're at a hotel for whatever reason. And they're calling their loved ones or whatever back home, and it's going from phone booth to phone booth, and you're hearing glimpses of those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a narration over the top of it saying, "Nothing ever happens here," blah blah blah. Like, because when you go to a hotel, you're like, "Oh, I'm just going to a hotel. There's no stories here. It's just people who come in staying or whatever." But it focuses on a bunch of the different people that are staying at the hotel and why they're there, what kind of what their life story is, but you get snippets as it goes,
mm-hmm.
and then their stories interact with each other, and by the end, like, people die.
Really?
But, I mean, not people. I think it's just one person. But anyway, like, they intertwine and stuff like that, and it's kind of interesting to see the interaction to people, because the characters are cool. Some of the guys are, like, over the top. But they were interesting characters. So from that point of view, it was a good story. It was a good movie. But as far as plot, it felt all over the place. But it was kind of cool.
Well, I was going to say, with old movies, though, too, like when some of these other movies are watching, I realized back then they were more used to watching plays and stuff. And a lot of these, the way they act in some of these movies, it's really cool because you can't tell a bad actor back then because it was just...
But this one wasn't like those.
Oh, I know. Oh, really?
Yeah. It didn't feel like a play. It felt like an actual movie, but I don't know. Obviously, they're not going to have any of those shots where it's following down the hallway and mm-hmm. stuff like that, where it's like a static camera, but I don't know. It was more real
mm-hmm.
than most plays. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. It wasn't that amazing of a movie, but it was interesting. I mean, it was a good one to start off with.
Yeah. But I was just saying, like, nowadays it's easy to spot a bad actor. But you watch old movies, it's like, you don't know who's a bad actor because everyone's acting over the top. And it's mm-hmm. it just works. Like, I like that. I love that old movie feel, I guess.
Yeah.
That I've noticed.
And it is kind of cool, too, especially when you do have someone who's a really good actor not doing it over the top.
Yeah.
It just feels more, I can't think of the word. Realistic, and you know, like, oh, this is what he's actually like.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Grand Hotel was the first one I watched. I never seen it before, and I mean, I'm not saying I'm glad I saw it, but it was an interesting movie, and as I don't really watch a lot of really old movies, but it was good.
Yeah.
What was your first movie you watched?
The first movie I watched was the beginning of the year. I don't remember when I watched it, but it was the first movie of the year. But I watched This Is the End. The movie of the Seth Rogen, Judd Apatow. Is it Judd Apatow? I don't
know. It wasn't. Seth? It was actually written by Seth Rogen and...
someone else.
Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank.
I don't know.
The guy's house that they were at. It went to his house. You know the guy, 127 Hours, that guy?
Oh, Franco, James Franco?
Yeah, James Franco and Seth Rogen wrote that movie, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't him. It was some random guy. That's right.
I believe you.
No, but anyway, it was Seth Rogen wrote the movie.
Yeah, I didn't care for it.
No.
No.
I could tell by seeing you watching it, you're like,
oh. I don't know. It had potential in some points, but I don't know. I feel bad because I feel like I'm not giving certain actors a chance because I just, nothing they're in I really like. And I don't know. It bothered me. It was, and whenever a joke was kind of funny, I'm like, oh, there we go. Oh, they overdid it. They overdid it. Because, like, that, yeah.
Like what? What joke?
Like, if so they'll say something, I don't know. Like, I can't think of any, it was 1 month ago. But, like, if they, like, oh, yeah, we did... They broke into this. What? They did this? They did jizz all over your face. Jizz in my face? I'm going to jizz in your face. Yeah, I'm going to come over there and jizz in your face. I'm jizz. Are you fucking jizz in my face? I'll jizz in your face. No, you can't jizz in my face. Like, yeah, we get it. You jizzing in the face is funny, and you guys are going overboard. Plus, I don't like Danny McBride, and he was a big part of the story.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say it was an amazing movie, but it was different than most movies that are out there. Like, I don't know. Most movies are straightforward. I mean, it was a lot... I don't want to say darker, but for a comedy, there was, like, a lot more non-comedy to it than I thought there was going to be.
Oh, the Emma Watson part was probably my favorite.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Were you talking about raping me out there?
No, I can hear you. The walls are paper thin. Yeah.
But I mean, I thought it was a lot funnier than I thought it was going to be. But it was probably one of those things where people are...
I was probably more hyped up about it than... I'm like, oh, it's going to be funny.
I thought it looked stupid, but then I watched it anyway, and I enjoyed it.
To each their own.
Yeah. I'm not saying it was an amazing movie. I enjoyed it, and that's probably why I didn't buy it, because I didn't know if I would enjoy it a second time. Yeah. But I regretted buying it because I was like, oh.
Regretted not buying it, you mean?
Yeah, because I would like to see the bonus stuff on it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, it was based on a short film,
mm-hmm.
which was really under budget, and it was just Jay and Seth, and, like, basically filming it at their house and, like, doing stuff, which I think would have been funny. But, yeah. My second movie I watched was Prisoners.
Prisoners?
Prisoners. And this is going to be funny because, like, these are new movie. That's a new movie.
Oh, okay.
That just came out not too long ago. But Scott doesn't really know what movies come out, so it's kind of funny.
I don't. I know nothing about anything.
And this was a really good movie. It's like a suspense thriller.
It's a new movie?
Yeah.
Called Prisoners.
Yep. It's got... God. I'm drawing a blank on who is it and stuff.
I feel like I'm responding to an infomercial. Really? A movie? What? Tell me more.
Tell me more.
I can't believe it.
But... Oh, my God. I think it's Hugh Jackman. I'm going to feel like a real idiot. We should look it up.
We could always have just IMDb hooked up ready.
But anyway, Prisoners is like a suspense thriller crime movie where...
Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal, yeah. Oh, that's right. Jake Gyllenhaal's the cop. Don't read anything about it.
I'm just seeing
who's
in it.
But anyway, Hugh Jackman and his neighbor, they are doing like a... little party at their house or whatever, and all of a sudden they're like, where are our kids? And they're like, little kids, like Hugh Jackman's kid and his neighbor's kid are missing, and they try to find them, and they're like, oh, I thought we saw him over by that camper that's on the park down the road, and the camper's gone. So like, oh crap, this guy who's in the camper took our kids. And it's the kid who's colorblind from Little Miss Sunshine. But he plays like a mentally retarded guy who lives in a camper. And Hugh Jackman's character is like, he took our kids. But the guy's like, no, I didn't take the kids. He's like, they were in your camper and blah, blah, blah. And like, he kidnaps him and like is torturing him to try to get information from it. And the entire movie, they're trying to figure out where these kids are, who took them and all this stuff. And it's just like, it's kind of depressing and stuff too. Cause it's like, how far are you going to go to try to get your kids back? Like how far? I don't know. It was really good.
So, but in the end you find out that it's, they staged it and it was actually not really a kid in weather blue. And he's just in a box in the basement.
There was no weather, but it was pretty good. I just, those suspense thriller type movies like that, like once you finish the movie, you don't think you're ever going to watch it again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, it was good, but I don't know if I could watch it again. I know how it ends.
Yeah.
And the ending was, I liked the ending, even though it was really disturbing, but it was just one of those that kind of kept you on the edge of your seat. It reminded me a lot of... like watching The Killing or something like that, where it's just like all these other things they're, you know, slowly piecing together, but then finding other information and stuff like that as they go. But yeah, it's a fairly new movie. I enjoyed it. There you go.
The next movie. Wait, no.
You said this is the end last time.
Yeah, I don't think I have these in order. Because my next one is Wizard of Oz. Is that right for you?
Nope.
No?
That was my third one out of my 50.
Well, I'm going to jump to this one then. I guess because I haven't written third. Blackfish.
Oh, the orca whale one.
Yeah, the documentary about... SeaWorld. Holy fuck.
SeaWorld.
It's mainly about one specific fish. one specific whale.
Orca.
Yeah, no, but he has a name.
It's not one specific type. It's like the actual fish's name.
It's the actual whale. Like it's about the actual whale.
So like all this is about one whale. It's not like all how they treat all animals. It's just the one.
Pretty much. It's a documentary about
this one whale is the one that kills its trainers and stuff.
It attacks.
And how it's treated and all this like.
Yeah, it's
how do they have all this footage?
Security cameras? Well, a lot of it is interviews with people that used to work at SeaWorld. They actually have footage of certain events. Like, because I think, was it 3 or 4 years ago when that one expert trainer got killed?
Yeah.
And
they got pulled underwater and then they drowned?
Yeah. It's really creepy because thankfully they don't show it, but you can tell they had the video. Because they showed certain parts, like the guys are explaining, like right near the end, they're explaining like what happened and like all this stuff about right before the attack, and you see it on screen. I'm like, holy shit, someone actually has that tape.
Yeah, I was gonna say there are people in the audience who taped it.
Yeah, but it goes through and like explains like the
video cameras are everywhere now with your phone.
Yeah, but they explain a lot of the stuff about SeaWorld. And, like, actually all the other attacks that happened that covered up. And all the things they do to the animals and stuff. Like the animals, yeah, obviously,
it's
in the cages
and stuff.
It's
not Shamu, right?
No, Shamu is like the Ronald McDonald of SeaWorld. Like, there's been numerous Ronald McDonalds.
Yeah.
But the actual whale has a certain name. Like, it's like, I can't remember, it's like a T.
But did he play Shamu? Or is it like...
I think Shamu is really... They never really said anything like that. But I think Shamu is just like the not spokesperson, but the... just the
mascot,
but yeah, I don't think it's.
I thought they always called the main one Shamu.
Well, yeah, because they showed like certain commercials, like and like one of the baby whales, like it's a baby Shamu, but that wasn't the whale's name. I think they just refer to killer whales as Shamu. I don't know, but yeah, it's a really good documentary about the whales and stuff like that. And it's cool because. I cried.
Like everybody's talking about it right now. I feel like blackfish is everywhere.
Yeah, I teared up while watching it. It gets pretty emotional, but it's good. I wouldn't say it's amazing, but I'd probably give it a 7 or 8.
Yeah, yeah. Like documentaries, I have to be in the mood for.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. I mean, I understand the concept. Like animals are treated horribly at these water parks, and like. People get hurt and all this stuff, but I'm like, I don't know if I could watch a whole movie on that.
Well, it's not so much like it's not in the PETA sense of the movie. It's more of the sense of these are wild creatures. We shouldn't.
Right.
Like, we don't know how.
No,
to
I understand.
React.
I understand, but I'm just saying like, I get the basic gist. So that's why I haven't watched the movie because I don't really care.
Yeah. Well, the movie. I mean, it flew by. Like, I didn't feel like I watched. Like, it was over before I realized it. But it was. I mean, it was good. It was a good movie. Because they go through, like, different accounts and of people. They saw this happen or and it's people going through, and it's pretty good.
My next movie out of my 50, number 2 out of 50, was Mutiny on the Bounty.
That's the boat one?
Yeah. It's about a bunch of people who are on a crew on this boat, the Bounty. And... The object is that they're going to this one island to pick up a whole bunch of these trees that produce fruit to bring to this other country that doesn't have much food. So they're bringing the plants from one place to another so these people that are starving have food. And the guy who's running the ship is a complete asshole. And he's like... giving people on the boat very little food, and the boat's like a lot smaller than the amount of people that should be on it, so everyone's really crammed, but the higher up people on the boat get all the food they want, they have bigger rooms and all this stuff, so everybody else on the boat is getting really pissed off. And after a while the people on the boat are like, wait, we outnumber this guy, we should just take over the boat. So they end up kicking him off the boat.
Oh, so they have a coup.
Yeah. So they like throw him and like his higher officers and stuff into one of the rowboats, and they throw him off the boat.
And they have a mutiny.
And, yeah, and a mutiny.
Mutiny.
And apparently, I don't know, the way I got it, it's based on a true story that actually happened. And from this point on, they created all these new laws and stuff, so stuff like this doesn't happen again. That's what I grasped out of it. I mean, the movie was really long and wasn't that exciting, like, because I feel I knew a lot of this stuff already, but I didn't. Like, there was a lot of stuff I didn't know about it, but I'd never seen the movie, but I've heard about it, and it got a little too long. I mean, I understand because it's, if it is based on a true story, like I think it is, because it made it seem like it was. And then this is the first time something like this happened, and it's why I created the laws and stuff. But what I explained about the movie was like the first 30 minutes of an over 2 hour movie. And they went as far as going to court and like going to court about this. And they're like, oh, if you lose, you're going to get drawn and quartered and all this stuff. Like these people that kicked him off the boat are in court and they're like, yeah, we're standing by what we have and stuff. I don't know. It was just all over the place. And then I forgot that some of the people stayed back on the island or something where they got the plants. And I don't know. It was cutting all over the place. But it was another one of those old movies that... Oh, and just a side note, I was on the boat, the Bounty.
In the movie?
That was in the movie. Not the actual boat, because... Not the actual one that it's based off of, because if you've seen the movie, they destroy the boat and they break it up and burn it and stuff. But like the actual one for the movie, which they ended up using in Pirates of the Caribbean as well. And I don't know if it was a Bounty. It was called the Bounty in that one too. But yeah, I got to actually go on the boat. And it is, I mean, it's a big boat, but for that amount of people, it's pretty small.
So basically, the movie, the title pretty much tells you exactly what happens. Exactly. In like four words.
Yeah. So like the title of the movie is all you really need to know about the movie. I'm sorry for fans of this movie out there, but
they're not listening to me talk about movies if they're a fan of.
But yeah, basically the title summed it up, so you don't really have to watch it. You can basically make up the plot and you'd probably be right just based on the movie.
I'm imagining it being a pirate ship from the Legos. It's going to be pretty awesome, my man.
Your next movie.
My next movie. Next movie I watched was House at the End of the Street.
Oh, is that the... Did you watch the original or the remake?
Is that a remake? I don't think... Oh. Are you thinking of Last House on the Left?
I am thinking Last House on the Left.
No. Yeah, that's not that one.
Oh, okay.
House at the End of the Street. It came out like last year or so.
Because they did do a remake of Last House on the Left.
Yeah. I heard that was...
Last House on the Street. Is this that Jennifer Lawrence movie?
Yep. Want to know the best parts of it? Jennifer Lawrence in that tank top.
Was it not good?
It had so much potential. Like, I shouldn't say so much. It had some potential.
It's a horror movie, right?
It's a horror movie, yeah. It's a horror movie.
Someone killing people?
It's. Do you want me to tell you kind of the story? It's not that great, but the last 10 minutes are the cool part, which kind of was sad because the first, like, hour and 20 minutes was just, like, bad dialogue and... Just people like, it was realistic at first, and then after a while, it's like, oh, yeah, no, that's totally cool. Let's go to a party.
I thought it had a really low rating. Like, I thought it was rated really low, like, low percent.
It probably was. I mean,
30-some percent on Rotten Tomatoes.
It might be, but, like, it had, like I said, there was, like, one or two little hooks in the movie that were cool.
Jennifer Lawrence is the draw.
Yeah. I mean, and Elizabeth Shue was her mom, so.
Oh, Elizabeth Shue was in it?
Yeah, she was in it.
She was in Piranha.
And then the guy who played... Johnny in Shawshank Redemption was a cop.
Okay. But what's the basic premise of the movie?
Okay, the basic premise is the movie starts off and you see this young girl wake up in the middle of the night and kill her parents. Then flash forward a couple years later, Elizabeth Shue and Jennifer Lawrence are moving into this house.
Oh, is it haunted?
No, and it's dirt cheap because it's right next door to the house that those murders took place in. But the son of the parents, because there's like two parents, a daughter and a son, the son is living in the house, fixing it up to sell it. But everyone's like, he's weird, he's a shut-in, and
This sounds horrible.
And basically drives the property value down. So, like, they got in there cheap. But then Jennifer Lawrence befriends the guy. He's like, he's not that creepy. He's cool. He's fun. But then you find out that he is keeping his sister in the basement because she went, killed the parents. And because everyone's like, oh, the sister drowned in the river. She got, you know, they never found her body. But then he's keeping her body in the basement.
Is she dead?
And feeding her? No, she's okay. Alive and, like, constantly trying to escape. But here's where the hook comes in. What happened is...
he killed the parents.
Yes. But what happened was, initially, he was pushing, like, when they were kids, he was pushing
around the swing. You don't have to worry about spoilers on this podcast?
I'll put a bookend at the beginning saying we'll probably spoil movies.
Okay.
But what happened is he was telling a story about how their kids. He pushed his sister on the swing. She fell off, hit her head. And he told her that that's what she just wasn't right after that, and that's what why she snapped and killed the parents. Found out she actually died when she fell off, and he's kidnapping random girls, pretending that they're his sister, and locking them up in the basement.
Oh, so they're not actually his sister. He's just pretending.
And that's why at the end, like, Jennifer Lawrence is like, he's kidnapped. Like, you're gonna be my Carrie Ann.
Oh, Jesus.
And she tries to get away, but then you find out that his parents blamed him for his sister's death. So they started pretending he was Carrie Ann and made him wear dresses and wear his hair long. That's why he snapped and killed his own parents at the beginning of the movie. Like, that part was kind of cool, because at the very end, like, he's in the jail and it, like, sort of, like, zooms in on him and it has, like, the flashback. And it's like, it's like, I don't want to wear this. No, shut up. You're Carrie Ann. And, like, and then it cuts back and he's just kind of sitting there glaring at the camera like, oh, that's dark.
So basically, I am glad that I didn't watch it, even though it keeps popping up on Netflix telling me to watch it. I was like, because I kept thinking of Last House on the Left. I'm like, I saw the original.
Yeah.
But it's not that movie at all.
Like, I mean, it's a movie if you like shitty horror movies.
Yeah.
I like horror. See, the problem is I like horror movies, but so few of them, like, come to fruition for me. Mm-hmm. Like, so few of them are like, I need to buy that movie and watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I mean, there's so many generic shit things that happen in horror movies, which you'll see later, because I have a lot of horror movies on my list that, like, they all have the same stuff, and people think they can make good movies, and they don't. And I keep watching them. I like them.
All right. My next movie is Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, which I'm gonna come out and say this. I've never seen any of the Jackass movies.
Oh, you haven't?
I've not seen any of them.
What?
Yeah.
I own one of them.
I've seen the show Jackass when it was on MTV, but I've never seen any of the movies.
They're fun.
Except this one, which I don't think is like the other movies at all. Because this one, okay, in case you want to know, Johnny Knoxville dresses up as an old man.
Which he does in the show once in a while.
Yeah, which apparently is based on one of the characters from the show, but the whole movie is just that, him as this old man. But the thing that threw me...
Spike Jonze is in it? Is he in it at all?
I don't think so.
Because he also dressed up as the old woman, and they would, like, fuck around and do dumb things.
Oh. the thing is, it's weird, because the... Maybe he is in it, I don't know. But there was a plot to the movie, and I was, like, not expecting that from a Jackass movie.
Yeah.
It was, so it's kind of in the vein of, like, you know, Bo Rat and stuff like that, where there's a plot and there's a couple people that know what's going on and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else is real reactions. But, I mean, there's a lot more of that than I think there was in Bo Rat. But basically the movie starts and Johnny Knoxville's character, his wife dies. So a lot of the beginning movie is like him, oh, his wife died. And he's like in the waiting room at the hospital or whatever like that. And he finds the news and he's like celebrating and stuff like that. And like getting reaction that way. And then at the funeral, his daughter comes and says, I need you to take my son to his dad because I am going to jail or something like that or something. I don't remember what she was doing. She couldn't have the kid for some reason. Maybe she's going to rehab or something.
I watched the first like 10 minutes of it, and so, I remember she was like hooked on meth or something.
Yeah, know. So the movie is about Johnny Knoxville taking this little kid cross country to bring the kid to the real father, who I think who just got out of jail.
Oh, okay.
Is what it was. And they're like, oh, you have nothing to do since you don't have to take care of your wife and stuff like that. But so the movie is just him going cross country, stopping at little towns, doing stuff and pulling pranks, you know, jackass type pranks. But the kid is hilarious. Like, I don't know how they found this kid, because you can tell a lot of it is ad lib. There's like very little script to it. And they have, every once in a while, like they'll have a skit or whatever, and then they'll have him in the car going to the next city. But everything in the car is just back and forth between Johnny Knoxville and the kid, which is all made up, and it's hilarious. You can just tell it's ad-libbing with this little kid, because kids' minds work different.
Yeah.
So he's like, sometimes you could tell, like, the kid catches Johnny off guard and stuff like that. But it was pretty funny. I mean, oh, and also, like, yeah, because his wife died, and his wife's body is in the back of the trunk of the car, like, the whole movie.
Jesus.
Because he's going to bury her and stuff. So, like, she's in the car the whole time, too. So it's, like, kind of funny. But, yeah, it was a lot more enjoyable than I thought, maybe, because I didn't realize there was going to be a plot, and I thought it was just going to be, like, Jackass, where it's just, like, skit after skit after skit. But there was, like, by the end of the movie, it was weird because, you know, he's like, oh, it's my grandson, whatever. But then, like, you could see there was a bond forming between them and stuff like that. So there was actually a little bit of character development in this. It was, like, very weird.
Yeah.
Like, normal, like, you know, road trip movies where two people who are stuck together and they slowly, you know. So that was a good movie.
I just realized something.
And it was really, really funny.
I just realized something we should have done. After each movie, we should give it a rating out of 10, what we thought. At least what our opinions were.
Okay.
So I'm going to say this is the end. I'd give it a 4 out of 10. Blackfish, like I said, like a 7 or 8 out of 10. 7.5 out of 10. House at the End of the Street, 5 out of 10. Sorry. And then.
Okay. Grand Hotel, I'd probably give that like a 6.5, 7. Prisoners, probably about an 8, 8.5. Mutiny on the Bounty, probably like a 4. Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, probably like 7.5, 8. And then the next one, Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, Wizard of Oz
was number 3 out of 50 for me.
And that was the first movie that I watched in my deck of best movies of all time.
So 1 of 52 for you. So that's a good start to the month.
Yeah, so yeah, I had three movies in before Wizard of Oz.
So yeah, like I had 2 of my 50 done, and then you're on your first.
And the thing is about this movie is we've both obviously seen Wizard of Oz years ago, but we never.
I don't know if I've ever seen the whole thing in its entirety.
Yeah, I mean, I never really paid attention because when I watched it as a really little kid, I really didn't know what was going on. And then also when I watched it as an adult, it was Dark Side of Oz. So I never really,
I never watched Dark Side of Oz, but.
But it's good. It was really good.
And I can understand why people like it a lot. Like, there's like people obsessed with this movie.
Yeah, it's, I
mean, it was really, really good. It's a little cheesy, but like Scott was saying, it's very like theater.
Yeah.
Theater-like. Like you could see, like you could almost picture this entire thing on a stage, this entire movie, which has been done in high school plays and all that stuff. But
yeah, Judy Garland, I can see why people liked her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She was good.
And out of curiosity, I was like watching the dog a lot of the time.
Fuck, that
and
was hilarious.
It's hilarious, like how easily distracted the dog was and not paying attention to what's going on, or easily, you know.
And there's parts where
he's like in the basket and then walking and then in the basket again.
But there's one part that like a character showed up, and I think the dog was startled by the character, and you could see the dog moving like he was barking, but I think they muted him out because he wasn't supposed to be scared of that character. He's just barking like crazy. You just see him like shaking his head forward. But yeah, no, I liked the movie a lot. I yeah.
That's 8 out of 10.
I gave it 8 out of 5. 8.5. Sorry, 8.5 out of 10.
I should write that stuff down.
I just wrote it down now, but...
Yeah.
I gave it, 8.5.
Good. Yeah, Wizard of Oz.
Good movie. Now, the next movie I have is one you also saw. So...
Oh. Okay. Then I'll do my next one that I saw before that one.
Okay.
The other movie I saw after Wizard of Oz was called OCOD.
Obsessive Compulsive?
Nope.
Uh-oh.
It's called Adult Child of Divorce. Because apparently COD, Child of Divorce, is a thing. Or I don't know if they
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. But Adult Child of Divorce. It was pretty good. I watched it because it's an Adam Scott movie.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, I'm kind of interested in seeing this. And it's about... what was the girl from Party Down and Glee?
And Glee?
Yeah, she left Party Down to do Glee from the first season of Party Down.
Oh, Jane Lynch?
Yeah, Jane Lynch is a main character in it, too. But anyway, Jane Lynch was helping Adam Scott's character when he was little because his parents were going through a divorce. And he would go to her and talk to her about it, you know, try to get through the rough time of the divorce and stuff like that. And then they, you know, his parents get a divorce. And then it goes to the present time where he's an adult and his brother wants to get married, who's
Clark Duke.
Yeah, Clark Duke, from Clark and Michael.
And super badass. Not badass.
Yeah, he's in badass. Kick-ass.
Kick-ass.
That's it.
I don't even know what badass.
But anyway,
is.
He's his brother and he's getting married and he's like, I want mom and dad to both be at the wedding. He's like, mom and dad do not want to be in the same room as each other and stuff. So
I'm assuming the dad is Richard Jenkins and the mother is Catherine O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara is from the Christopher...
Home Alone, the mother from
Home Alone. Yeah, Home Alone, and the dad's the dad from...
Stepdads. Or stepbrothers. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Can't get anything right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, the object is to try to get them together, and then he finds out Jane Lynch wasn't actually a doctor. She was just writing a book about kids growing up with parents who get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, oh, you're still having all these problems? I should do a book about people, like, adults whose parents are divorced and how... Like, living is more difficult because, you know, like, trying to do big events that you can't have them both at each other and stuff.
Yeah.
And this is the movie where the girl who played Ramona Flowers from Scott Pilgrim.
Mary Elizabeth
Winstead. She makes a comment about how she doesn't know much about tea and stuff like that. And I was like, to me, it was like, felt like an inside joke after Scott Pilgrim.
But she likes tea.
Yeah. But it was a pretty interesting movie. It was funny and... I don't know. It was very average, but they. Oh, and Amy Poehler was in it too, as his dad's new wife, who is younger than Adam Scott. But yeah, it was pretty interesting. It was one of those movies I never heard of, and I was like, oh, this could be interesting. But I'd probably give it like. Would you have any questions about it? No.
No.
Probably about a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
So it was good, but it wasn't amazing.
All right. The next.
And then we can talk.
Yeah, the next one is one of my movies in my deck of cards. So this is my second movie in my deck of cards. Is Gone with the Wind.
My 4th out of 50, Gone with the Wind, as well.
2nd out of 52. Doing pretty good. And
I've never seen this movie before.
Neither have I.
And it's one of those that everyone references, and I'm like, I don't get it, because I've never seen it. And now I've seen it.
It was good. Slow. There's a lot of stuff in there, but I guess the book was probably long, but I didn't care for it at first, but then it grew on me as we were watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But the girl, I think...
Scarlett O'Hare?
Yeah, I think... was that Vivian Leigh? I think was the actress's name. Shit, she was awesome in that movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it was also one of those movies where...
She was a bitch.
She was a bitch, but like, it was... It's like every little thing she did, like when she like got upset or like was amazed by something, I just had to laugh because she was so adorable.
Mm-hmm.
That you just had to laugh at everything she did. Like, I don't want to do that. No! Like, you're so cute. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I like that movie a lot.
Plus, was it Clark Gable? was the main guy, right? It was the Postal Service song.
Is it Clark Gable?
I think so. But yeah, he was an awesome, just like
yeah, Clark Gable.
He reminded me of a 1930s or 40s George Clooney. Like, just no, I'm doing this. I tell you what to do.
Yeah, it was slow moving, but it was really good.
Yeah, like, I was surprised.
I liked it quite a bit, actually. And yeah, like, it was one of those things. Yeah, whenever she talked or did something, like, a lot of the interactions between characters were really funny. And yeah, she was adorable yet a bitch at the same time. And like, she was a bitch, but men loved her, and I can see why. Like, that she had men falling all over her, yeah, and stuff like that. Because she was adorable. But yeah, she was a bitch, and she was all about money and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I'd probably give it probably like an 8 out of 10. Eight and a half.
I'd give it a 7. Because it felt like there were some parts that just didn't need to be there. But, you know, whatever. It's a classic movie. I gave it some slack. But I liked it. I liked it more than I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
Just a warning, I did watch a lot of movies in one day because I was sick. So
I only have 3 more movies I've seen, and one of them we've seen together.
Yeah, the next one I have is that one.
Yeah, that's my next one.
Okay.
The Maltese Falcon, number 5 out of 10.
This is number 3.
Or 5 out of 50. Oh.
For me, it's number 3 out of 52.
So, yeah, Maltese Falcon. I didn't really care too much for it.
No, I could definitely see where, it's a very classic movie. I could see where a lot of people got ideas from, because unfortunately it's one of those times where this movie was made a lifetime ago from me. But by now, everything I've absorbed in media has been copying movies like that for years. So everything I saw, it's been redone. So by the time I saw it, I'm like, this is plain, and it's not that amazing.
Right. And, yeah, because, I mean, I was like, it was hard to, like, care about any of the characters or really know what was kind of going. You knew the basic gist of what was going on.
Yeah.
But not everything that was going on.
Like, why they were doing, like, just like, oh, run over here. Why?
How did you know this was going to be here? And yeah, that, like, but I can see why. Like, I have a feeling this was probably one of the first noirs. Film noir type things.
Possibly.
Not saying it is the first. I'm just saying it was around that. Like,
one of the first big ones.
Yeah.
Probably.
And it was one of those movies where you're doing all this work, and it's probably one of the first movies like that where the ending, you're like,
this is what's happening. This is what's
we
happening.
Did all this, and then it's not real.
Yeah. Well, it's not. It was real, but it just didn't matter.
Right, because they're like, oh, we're trying to get this Maltese Falcon, and then it was a fake, and then it's like, oh. So it was for nothing.
Yeah,
all these people died and all this stuff. Like,
yeah,
but yeah, I didn't care that much for it.
And unfortunately, I mean, the show is great, but I thought the Quantum Leap episode that was similar to this in Casablanca was much better than this movie.
Yeah,
because it starts off with his partner but getting killed. Which,
I think it was. I mean, it was one of those that I think sparked a lot of future stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of like how Star Wars sparked a lot of other sci-fi, you know,
mm-hmm.
sci-fi movies. But, yeah. That's
the next one. All right. The next movie I watched, I gave that movie about a 5.
Yeah, I think I'd probably throw it a 5. Wasn't horrible. It wasn't good. So it's like dead set in the middle, 5.
Yeah. The next movie I watched, which was number 4 of my 52, was Manhattan, the Woody Allen movie.
I've never seen it.
Oof, boy.
But I have seen Woody Allen movies, and I remember Scott saying, I saw a Woody Allen movie. I'm like, let me guess. It's about a guy who's married, and it's not going well, and he meets this other younger woman and likes her a lot, and that's most Woody Allen movies.
Similar. I mean, the basic gist
I feel
of
like there's always, like, one scene where there's, like, a bunch of couples, and they're all yelling at each other.
Not as much.
No?
It was more of a one-on-one with two different characters, then one-on-one with two different characters, one-on-one with two different characters. And it was like, basically the gist of the movie was, I keep feel like I'm saying gist way too much.
Is it a black and white movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I saw, the first Woody Allen movie I saw was the one about, it was like Seth Green was in it, as like when he's a little kid and it's about newspapers and broadcast media and stuff. I can't remember what that one was called.
Yeah.
That was really good. That was a decent movie. That was a good movie. But in this movie, Woody Allen, he's divorced from his wife, and she's writing a book on relationships, and he's worried that she's going to write about him. And then, but yeah,
he's always a writer too.
But he's his wife is a writer, and he's also a writer for a TV show. But he's dating a 17-year-old girl in college, which in the real life she was 17 when this movie was made, and he makes out with her in the movie, which is creepy as shit. But then his friend is cheating on his wife with another girl, who Woody Allen starts falling for, and then but the other guy is like his wife and this and this, and then it's. But it's just him walking around talking, and it's not even like...
It sounds like it's almost not, most of all the Woody Allen movies I've seen.
Yeah. I gave it a 4.
Yeah.
It wasn't... Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, have I seen this movie? Because it sounds like every other movie I've seen of his.
I gave it about a 4.
Out of 10. Yeah. I remember seeing that a lot, like, everywhere. Like, I was like, this must be a huge movie, because it's everywhere. Even though I don't think it came out when I was alive. But how many more movies did you got?
Oh, I have, like, 7 more.
Okay, I'll let you do another one then.
Okay, the next movie I watched was number 5 out of 52, Some Like It Hot.
Ooh, I want to see that
one. The movie with Marilyn Monroe, Jack Lemmon, and Tony Curtis.
I heard that movie's really funny and really good.
It starts off fun. It's one of those where Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon really act over the top, and Marilyn Monroe is just Marilyn Monroe. But it was a fun movie. Things have been done so much like that, where they pretend to be girls so they can do
escape
this.
Escape the Claw or something, isn't it?
Right at the very beginning, they witness, because it's around the time of, it's 1929, I believe, during the Prohibition, and it's right before the St. Valentine Massacre, but they witness a gang shoot and kill a bunch of people, and they're like, and they notice that they're right there, so they go to kill them, and they get away.
So they're hiding from the mafia.
So they're hiding from the mafia, and end up boarding a train to pretend to be two women in an all-female band, and they go down to Florida. And then,
I don't want
course,
the whole movie.
No. And that's
I actually want to see
that's
this
first,
one.
Like, the first like 15 minutes of it.
Yeah,
but no, it's.
But I knew that they were running from something, and they dressed as women to hide.
Yeah, but it's basically.
And then they run into Marilyn Monroe, who's part of the group.
Yeah, it's basically like every, not every, but like all, any sort of sitcom esque thing from the 70s. But it's, I mean, it's a fun movie.
It's like Sister Act.
No, not at all. Okay. It was funny in some points.
Pretending to be a nun.
But I was thinking it was more like it reminded me of some episodes of Three's Company at some points. But not as silly. I mean, right. Tony Curtis was pretty cool in it. Jack Lemmon was fun. But, yeah, movies. I gave it about a 7. Yeah.
No, okay, so that's worth seeing.
Yeah, I liked it. But now Netflix is always like, hey, watch all these other Marilyn Monroe movies. I'm like, maybe.
But I heard, like, Some Like It Hot is the best one.
It was good.
Out of all the Marilyn Monroes, everyone says, if you're only going to watch one, watch that one.
It was a good one. I think there's another Marilyn Monroe movie in there that I have to check out in my deck. Then I was sick one day, so I watched... The thing is about Manhattan, I started watching it. I watched, like, an hour of it. And then when I was sick one day, I finished it, and then I watched Some Like It Hot afterwards. Then I watched... The Gray, which is the Liam Neeson movie.
Yeah.
Not as great as I was hoping it was going to be.
I heard it was one of those that you either hated it or you liked it.
It was okay. I don't like that I watched it less than a month before I went on an airplane ride. Because without giving too much away, basically the idea is all the characters in the movie... They work in Alaska at the oil rigging thing, and Liam Neeson's character is, he kills wolves to stop them, the other workers, from getting attacked while working. Then they're going home, plane crashes, and they have to survive in the wilderness, and he knows all about wolves, and yeah, that's the movie, and then, of course, people slowly get picked off.
Yeah, it's another one of those movies where he's a badass.
Yep, it's Liam Neeson, it's a Liam Neeson movie.
But not all Liam Neeson movies are he's a badass. I've seen so many
Star Wars,
where he's like the love interest and shit.
oh, like Love Actually or something?
Yeah. He can do abroad, but it's just like those are the ones that do really well.
Yeah. Well, that's not I wouldn't say that's a Liam Neeson movie. This is like a Liam Neeson movie.
Right. Like but I feel like I've seen some romantic comedies with him in it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, it was...
Like, Taken is good.
That's not a romantic comedy?
No, but I'm saying as far as Liam Neeson action movies go.
They love his daughter.
Aww. Oh. Oh.
I give it a 6.5, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's decent. It's not, like, basically my favorite part, unfortunately, of the movie was, like... The whole movie is—it's just like this one mode of like style, but then like at the end, it's like finally you feel character stuff, and like oh okay,
no movie's done,
and then the movie like the credits, I'm like oh thanks, but no, it was—I mean it was decent. I didn't hate it. I mean it was over before I realized it, but.
I watched a movie called How I Live Now.
Okay.
How I Live Now. These are kind of like, it's one of those movies that I always have a hard time explaining what kind of movie it is because it's very different than other movies. I always say, oh, it's an independent movie, but independent movies, when I think independent movies, I think like Juno and stuff like this. It's not like Juno. This is like, I want to say it was a British movie, but I could be wrong, too. But it takes place in the UK. But anyway.
What's it called again?
Don't worry about that. Don't look it up. I don't want you to know about it.
Okay.
I'm talking about it. The phone ruins it when I'm talking about the movie.
God.
But anyway, it's like one of those movies where the kids are growing up. Like, this is how I'm living. Da, da, da. And, like, I'm trying to think of other movies that are similar to it. But anyway, it's like
a coming-of-age movie?
Yeah, it's a coming-of-age movie, but it's in the realm of...
Imagination?
Kind of. It's not sci-fi, but it's one of those like...
Fantasy.
Shut up. It's one of those like coming-of-age movies set in kind of like the start... of what could be World War III.
It's like a period piece. Oh, okay.
World War III. So there's like all these new laws about terrorists and the threat of a bombing and all this stuff. And this girl, she's coming from America to live with her cousins who live in one of those little cabin type things, like in the middle of the farm country area where they have fields everywhere and stuff like this. And she gets there and there's like kids everywhere. And they're like, you can tell she's a city girl.
Yeah.
But
like Hilary Duff.
Yeah. But it feels like it's an older movie, but it's not because World War III didn't happen. But, and she's like trying to fit in. And she's like, we're going to go to the swimming hole. And she's like, gross, that water's probably nasty, it's probably full of bacteria and stuff like that, and like stuff like that, but apparently there's like contamination in the water that like kills you and stuff like that because of terrorists and all this stuff. And while they're at the house, there's like bombs that go off, so like all these areas are getting quarantined, and the army comes in, and they're like all this craziness, and it's just like, it's weird because there's like, it's like a war-ish thing, but it's all a coming-in-age movie.
Yeah.
But so it's like sci-fi-ish too. Yeah,
so it's like a futuristic.
Yeah, but it's just like, it seems like possible one of those non-fiction generic movies, but they just put it in a different like era.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting. I don't know what I thought of the ending, but it was just one of those movies. I'm like, I feel like watching something different. And this is actually, like, if you feel like watching something different that's not normal, I would say check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's worth, like, because there's too many movies that are out there, like, that are, you know, straightforward. And, you know, like, the plot is, like, go from here to here and stuff like that. So if you want something that's not your normal movie, mm-hmm. it was pretty good. But it's definitely, I mean... The characters, I was like, they're okay. They're not that deep, but I don't know. It's just something drew me to it, and I felt like, oh, I'll check it out. I saw a trailer for it, and I was like, okay. Yeah, I'll watch that.
Cool. Would you give it?
I would probably give it like a 7.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll let you do another one, because I only have one left.
Oh, I have a 5.
So I'll let you do 2, and then I'll do 1, right, and then you do the other 3.
The next one I watched was... I started watching it a while back. I started watching it like a few weeks ago, but then I finally finished it. You're Next.
Oh, yeah, the one with the masks.
Yeah, it's like a horror movie, like more of a horror thriller.
I haven't seen it, but it reminds me of like Strangers, or like, because it's one where they break into a house.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's I wish I knew less about the movie before I watched it, so I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah,
but it was recorded in like 2011, but I think it finally got released last year. That's the issue, because it finally got released. But it's like, at first when I started watching, I'm like, this acting is horrible, but then after a while I'm like, that whole idea went away. But it's, I really liked it. Like, I liked it more than I thought I was going to. But there's like a few things here and there, specifically like the very, very like last second of the movie pissed me off.
It probably was going to come out, and then like Strangers came out, and they're like, we can't come out because it's...
Strangers is longer than that.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was 4 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
But no, it was a, it was good. I liked it. It was a cool little take on a... people getting killed type thing.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I think I would give it an 8.
Yeah.
I liked it. I could see myself buying it. I don't know if I would, because I
was... it scary at all? Did you get creeped out? Did it make you like
the creepy...
check the locks of the doors and stuff more? And
the creepy thing of the movie was the kind of creepy that I liked, where like someone's standing inside and they look out the window, and they don't see anything, and they turn away, and then you just see the reflection of, like, the mask in mm-hmm. the window, like, they're, like, right outside, but they didn't see him, but, like, it's the subtle, like, shit, someone's there type thing, mm-hmm. but it's...
Because it, like, I saw the trailer, and it just made me think, like, if I watched it, I'd be constantly, like, was someone behind me? Like, shit.
I wouldn't say it's that scary.
Okay.
But and actually at one point it kind of...
But also the trailers seemed like really hokey, because they're like, we're animals and we're gonna kill you. Like, you kill animals.
Oh,
like,
that's funny.
That's what the trailers were like.
Yeah. No. but about halfway through the movie, maybe less though, it goes from a horror to like more of a thriller,
mm-hmm.
suspense type movie. But it's still... I liked it.
Probably it was, like, The Purge.
Maybe. Probably. I don't know. I didn't watch that one.
You
didn't
see The Purge.
Then
you said 8.
Yeah, I gave that one an 8. I liked it. It was good.
I should be right.
Yeah, the rest of my movies weren't... I don't have any more movies for my 52. I only watched 5 movies for my deck this month. So that's okay. 5 weeks.
Yeah, I only had watched 5 of them.
The next movie I have... it was a movie I saw on Netflix... And I'm like, I recognize it from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a horror movie, and I love horror movies. So I'm like, I'll watch it. And then something drew me to the movie, and I don't know why. Then I watched it. It wasn't that good, but it's called...
What was it called?
All the Boys Love Mandy Lane. And generic movie, horror movie, where a girl, like, one year she comes to high school, and suddenly she's like the hottest girl in high school, but she has like no friends. And they're like, hey, come on, let's go to my parents' house way up in the country. And like, she's like, oh, I don't want to. And the guy's like, yeah, come on, we try to get her. And then, like, of course, they just want to fuck her. But then they slowly start getting killed off. And you're like, what is happening? But probably halfway through, like, I know who's doing it. Nope, correction. Before they started dying, I was like, I know who's going to kill them. And boom, boom, I win. I was right. And then there's like just a slight tiny twist at the end that wasn't that great.
It wasn't her the whole time.
No, you probably don't want to see it. I gave it about a 4.
Yeah, I don't care, as long as you put some kind of
disclaimer. Yeah,
this one gets
spoiler if you don't care. But right at the very beginning, like, it started off cool, because I'm like, oh, this could turn really awesome. But all the guys want to hang out with the girl because she's like, she's so hot now. And she's like, oh, you grew up over the summer. So the jock invites her over to a pool party,
mm-hmm.
and her loser friend who's a guy came along.
Oh, and he killed everyone.
And they're like, get away, yeah, like get away.
I didn't know there was a loser friend with it.
Yeah, like get away.
I thought it was going to be her killing everyone because you used to make fun of me. Now I'm hot, so now you want to fuck me.
No,
but I didn't realize one of her friends was with. So that yeah.
Well, the thing is, he got invited to the party. And then convince the jock guy to because she didn't like him, but the guy the friend's like, I can tell you how she'll like you, just impress her and don't be a douche. And she was like watching him, and they were staying on the roof, like just mm-hmm. hanging out. And he's like, jump from here to the pool. She'll be impressed by that. She'll like you. And the jock's like, all right, I'll do it. And he's like, well, I'll do it with you. And okay. So then he doesn't jump, and the jock jumps and hits his head on the concrete and dies. And then after that, like she's like, I don't want anything to do with you. creepy friend, and then she ends up going over the summer, going up to the fucking the house.
So you never see the guy again, and then
you never see the guy again, except for like one point. He's like, "Hey, I wanted you to read this poem," and she's like, "No, ignore it." He's like, "Oh."
So then, hopefully, you forget that he exists, yeah. And you don't know who's killing all these people.
And then, there's like five friends up there, or six friends, and of course, they slowly start getting picked off. And you're like, "Who could be doing it?" And then eventually, it's the guy killing all the friends. All the other like friends up there, but you find out at the very end that she was in on it too. And like, whoa, surprise! But they're gonna do like a death pact
mm-hmm.
type thing where she's like, you take the pills and then you shoot me and we'll both die. And they left. He like had a journal explaining all the things like because she wasn't popular before and all this other stuff. Explaining all this stuff like we did this for these reasons and stuff. And at the last minute, she's like. No, I'm not going to do this. And then it's like her and him are like trying to kill each other for the last like 2 minutes. And she ends up killing him. And she's like, ah, ha, ha. You're like, oh, bad girl and loose.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah. But she was really hot. Gave it a 4. All right. The next one?
Yeah.
All right. This one you've seen before. But I watched it, another horror movie, VHS.
Are your last two, like, 1 and 2?
I have 2 left. I have 3 left, I mean.
Oh, okay. So you're going to have VHS 1 and VHS 2. Yep. Might as well just glump them together.
VHS, in case you guys haven't seen the horror movie, it's like a sort of anthology type movie where people, like in a Tales on the Dark Side type thing.
Yeah, it's or just like a Tales from the Crypt movie. It's just a bunch of short films stacked together.
And there's like one overlying story while the stories are going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all handheld videotaping horror movie type things, like the style of Blair Witch Project or Paranormal Activity and stuff like that. But it's really cool because the special effects they use were really good for being a really independent movie. Like there was parts where I'm like, where did they cut that? And how did they get bloody in like when he looked away and came back? And they had some really cool, creepy horror movies, like horror mm-hmm. stories in that first movie. Like that freaking haunted house one, the last one still creeps me out with the arms coming out of the wall. Fuck. God yeah. damn it.
That one was creepy. Cause it's like the way it was shot from like the stairs and stuff like yeah. that. Like I shouldn't be up here, but I'm seeing this. Like that was yeah. creepy.
But like the first one too, with the girl, I can't stop thinking of that scene when and when at the club, and she's like looking, staring at the guy,
yeah.
and she goes, she like kind of nods her head, I like you, like whoa, yeah. okay, creepy girl,
yeah,
that was it's a cool movie. There's mm-hmm. a lot of nudity in it though, but yeah. it's fine.
And the second one's like that too, with a lot of nudity. And
yeah,
good.
There's a lot of nudity. It's
it's like the ones that were on the cutting room floor, maybe.
The second one, the first one is better. But the second one had 2 stories that were better than
yeah.
Like
so, the first one's better overall. Where the second one had parts that were way better.
Yes, but I don't want to without spoiling anything.
Don't spoil it then.
No, without spoiling anything, the first one has a lot to do with the ghosts. The second one has other like beyond just ghosts and stuff.
Well, the first one had beyond ghosts too.
I suppose like the whole yeah. The hotel but I just remember like there's like more ghosty type things. But there's the last 2 stories in VHS 2 were my favorite.
Not to check it out.
It's cool and yeah, it was. But I'm hoping that they're going to keep making movies because it feels like, because the overall story that overlaps everything ties into the first movie as well, where I'm wondering if there's going to be something going on. But yeah,
you look too deep into stuff, I think, sometimes.
No, like they actually,
I know, but I'm just saying, like, oh, it's probably this and this because of this and this. Like, it's an anthology,
but it's like this, but they find the TV's the same setup, like, and like they, the very beginning of the first movie when they're videotaping, and they, like, remember they pull that girl's shirt up, like that video is on the guy's computer. I'm like, oh shit, type thing. So
the last movie I saw in January was the second Hunger Games, Catching Fire.
How was that for you?
It was good. Like, I don't want to say too much about this movie because a lot of people liked it or a lot of people don't give a crap. So I'm not going to be convincing anybody about it. Like, the first one, I mean, I watched the first one because it was very popular and a lot of people were hyping. I mean, it was like the big movie coming out and stuff like that. So I watched it. You saw it too, the first one.
Oh, yeah, the first one, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it wasn't bad. It wasn't, to me, the first one was okay. It's not, it wasn't as awesome as I was hoping.
There were some really cool spots in the first one. There were. But.
And then the second one was a lot like the first, except it had some underlying tones that were different from the first one. Because I don't know what I was expecting in the second one. I guess I didn't, like, realized there was going to be a whole nother game. Hunger game where she was in it again and stuff. Like, it was like, yeah. But I mean, like, there were parts of it that, I mean, the second one seemed like the first one, but better. But it seemed like the same movie, but not, like, I don't know. It's like, oh, we're enemies, but we're attacking each other, but we're going to help each other a bit, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
It's a lot. But it was done different. Like, it's just like, I don't know. It was okay. I don't even know what I'd give the first one. First one, I'd probably, what would you give the first one?
6.5, 7.
Yeah.
Like the sound design in that movie was the best. Like when.
And someone else did the second one, so it's not the same.
Okay.
So, yeah, probably 6.5. And Hunger Games 2 would probably be about 7. Maybe 7.5. So it was better than the first, but you had to see the first to watch the second because it continues on like, oh, these are the winners of the Hunger Games. And like they had like that whole thing going on in the second one. But I'm really curious to see where the third one goes. It was just one of those things. I saw the first one. I'm like, oh, I wonder what the second one's going to be like, you know? And like, and I guess I was a little disappointed because I thought, I don't know. I figured they're going to do something a little different than what they did. But yeah, that was the last movie I saw.
Actually, I forgot to mention, I would give VHS 8, VHS 2, 7. But VHS 2 was the last movie I watched of the movie of the month, which I watched that like 2 days ago. But
was the last movie you watched. So
there's one in the middle.
Oh.
Because I watched on the 28th, I watched VHS, 29th, I watched this movie, and the 30th, I watched VHS 2. But the 29th, the movie I watched was another horror movie, The House of the Devil.
That sounds very generic.
Yes, that's the point. I shouldn't say that's the point.
Is it recent?
It's from 2009, but they recorded it to make it look and feel like a generic 1980s horror movie.
Yeah.
And it felt like like the hairstyles and like everything, like it looked like I was watching an 80s horror movie, which is what they're trying to do, like get that whole thing. It was like about a girl who was like babysit, like she got hired to be a babysitter, and she gets to the house and it's like, oh, it's all this stuff, weird things about the house, and the guy who hired her was really creepy and all this other stuff. Not a great movie. The style was cool, and I knew what that going into the movie because I heard someone talking about it on a podcast, and like, yeah, it's, don't go into it thinking it's gonna be an amazing movie. Go into it knowing that like that's the style they're going for, and they nailed it. But it wasn't that crazy. There's a few parts in the movie that creep me out, and like just the way it was shot, I guess. But overall, it wasn't a great movie. I think I gave it a 5. But the funny thing is, there's a guy in that movie. I'm like, he looks really familiar. So I looked him on IMDb. Sure enough, the guy was in Your Next, which I had just watched a week before. And also before that, he was in The Signal, which is another awesome independent horror movie. Yeah. But he was the in the Signal, he was the boyfriend or the husband.
Oh, not yeah.
And who was in like all three parts, the repairman guy. It was that was a good movie. But yeah, yes, House of the Devil, I give it about a 5 because it had a cool style, but overall the movie was basically her just walking around the house being like, "Oh, what's here? What's going on here?" And it wasn't it was basically yeah.
So. All right. And then I guess to wrap it up, I watched 10 movies. You watched 14.
Did I watch 14?
I thought that's what you said. So I watched 10 movies.
Yep, 14.
You watched 14. To me, the best movie I saw this month, I guess, was The Prisoners. Or Prisoners. That's what I think that's what I said was my best. And then the worst one, I think, was Mutant. Oh, was it Mutiny on the Bounty? I should write these down next time. either Mutiny on the Bounty or Maltese Falcon. One of those two is the worst ones I saw. But Prisoners was the best one I saw. But if you're like listening to this, you're like, but you rated this higher. I'm probably wrong because I didn't write these down. Next month, I'll actually write down out of the 10 because I didn't do that this month. But we'll get it cleaner next month.
Yeah, best movies I had was Wizard of Oz. I had that as 8.5. Then the 8s were You're Next and VHS. Worst movies I had were all tied for 4s, were Manhattan, This is the End, and All the Boys Love Mandy Lane.
All right.
Yeah, that's.
And then next month I have at least 4 movies out of my 50 that I'm going to watch. I think because there's only one day in February, which I counted toward the last week of January, but at least those, and we'll see what other movies come along.
Yeah, I haven't even watched any yet this month.
I guess if you have any recommendations of movies that we should see,
yeah, that's a good idea.
We can watch those. I don't know how they're gonna get a hold of us. You have a email on your website, right?
Yeah. Nope. I sure don't. But I have a comment section on the website, and also you can comment.
Oh yeah, comment on this
on the iTunes.
Yeah, we'll take comments, and if you recommend movies, we'll watch them.
Or just talk to us in person.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that should do it for now. We're sorry this is our first one for the month of movies, and we'll fine-tune it, and hopefully next month will be cleaner and better.
Yeah.
But we'll see how this one goes.
Let's camera action. I was going to try to think of an ending.
And that's a wrap.
Oh, that's a wrap. Do 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 do